No, I can't tell you now. We should go through to the drawing room. They're expecting me to play. I've told you all I'll tell you. He met me at an inn in Cesena. I cut my hair. Don't ask unless you want a haircut. Oh, look, I will tell you quickly. Maybe my story will help. You know my privileges. You share them. Aristocrat, educated, French. Yet even I struggled under the weight of an abusive marriage. Picture my titled husband thumping me repeatedly. My equally titled father-in-law cheering him on. My advice? Never marry an aristocrat. But how to escape? Murder? Not good with blood. Suicide? A little final. Disguise? Now that's more like it. The abbess at my school was appalled at my mother. She played the cello between her legs. She was more appalled at my father's insistence that I learn cello too. I took it upon myself to play par excellence, if only to bless the abbess. And so began my emancipation. Ah, oh, unhindered music, which left me imagining breeches and shirt astride not just a cello, but life itself. I yearned to breach convention. And my children couldn't protect me from the titled husband. Don't judge me. Have you any idea how hard it is to leave your children? The disguise took some planning, too. A cloak, servant's breeches, clean, I checked, the crucial scissors. La Pelouse, the husband's hometown, was crowded that evening. I excused myself to the lavatory. Hair snipped and dress abandoned, I hopped on a carriage flying out of town. I soon saw my disguise as a man would be hard to keep in daylight. I needed a partner in crime. There was a man travelling to Italy. I wanted to go to Italy, churlish to refuse. Then in Rome, I met another ancient, a Hungarian this time. I abandoned the first old man in favour of the Hungarian variety. We understood each other enough. I could pass as a man. Extraordinary how inns don't look too closely at their guests. Or so I thought, which is how I found myself hiding under bedclothes in a man's nightgown whilst an almighty rumpus broke out in our doorway. "Who was under your sheet, sirrah? You were seen entering the room with another man. Or was it a woman?" shouted the sbirri in Italian. They were the moral police of the Papal States. But my Hungarian spoke only Latin, obviously very well educated. The police spoke only Italian. So on they argued Latin, Italian, Latin, Italian. No one understood my Hungarian's ancient tongue, including me. Well, that ancient tongue, anyway. I digress. The shouting continued. Then, out of nowhere, Monsieur's voice, translating, deep, calm, curious. He alone charmed away the inquisitors. I emerged from bedsheets to see him eyeing me like an amused wolf. I recognized instantly a kindred sprite. There was no debate. The Hungarian conceded, and I changed traveling companions. Monsieur and I set off for Parma, and so began 4 months of perfect and continuous joy, as he put it. I was the love of his life, his diaries say. To me, he was an absolute gentleman. I asked only for no commitment and for his help in reconciling me to my parents. He obliged me with the most expensive inn in Parma, beautiful clothes, back into corsets, out of my breeches, and, quite unexpectedly, he bought me a cello. Things changed when I was noticed by a French contact of my family's after I spontaneously had borrowed a cello to sight-read a concerto at a party. Monsieur didn't know I played at all. He wept at his secretive musical lady. I cried too, later, for all that I missed of home and would miss of him. It was the beginning of the end, he wrote. I said to him, you will also forget Henriette. But he never did forget me. Despite his other adventures, we still correspond. And I won't tell you his name. Just as he was discreet enough not to acknowledge me at my request when we last met. So, for all who have no privilege of escape, I wish them partners in crime, strong breeches, and a good pair of scissors. Now, to the drawing room.